So one final question. One other thing that's kind of come about during the course of this lady's therapy. So I think the way her timing came out, probably she wasn't offered the option of neratinib, which we now have for about a year as a possibility in terms of post-adjuvant therapy. But I'm curious how you approach that issue. Do you ever offer it to a patient who's ER negative, HER2 positive? This lady was ER positive. Do you offer it to people in the neoadjuvant setting? And also wonder if you could comment on the data that I know you were part of the study. It was just presented at ASCO, looking at the duration of neratinib and treatment benefit. So any comment on that whole thing?
Neratinib, which is not an antibody, is a HER1 and HER2 kinase inhibitor, has indeed been looked into an extended approach, post completion of adjuvant trastuzumab, as another way of potentially reducing risk of recurrences in patients with HER2-positive cancer that had at least stage 2 or stage 3 disease at presentation. And indeed, there is substantial, not super substantial, but definitely statistically significant and clinically significant benefit from the addition of neratinib, particularly in the patients that have ER-positive disease. Not saying that there's no benefit in ER-negative disease, but particularly in the ER-positive cancers where there is a synergism between endocrine therapy blockade and HER2 blockade, where the brunt of benefit was higher. Nevertheless, in this day and age, because we have pertuzumab that we're using for patients with stage 2 and stage 3 at presentation, either in the neoadjuvant or adjuvant fashion, a lot of the data that was explored with neratinib is questionably applicable, because when the EXANET study that looked at neratinib in the adjuvant setting, pertuzumab wasn't around. So it's hard to say what to do and how to combine these two strategies now, because they may be complementary or they may be useless. The neratinib may not have added any benefit once you've treated somebody with pertuzumab. So since we're not going to have that data, the way I'm using the available data and extrapolating as best as I can is the following. For patients that have high-risk disease, and when I say that, I'm going to define that as patients that are diagnosed as stage 2 or stage 3 at presentation, get treated in neoadjuvant setting, and still have residual disease at the time of surgery. The other patients that I would include in this group are obviously the one that present with inflammatory disease, which is not common, but it's potentially a little bit more common with patients with HER2-positive breast cancer. So in these patients that have very high risk of recurrence, either because of residual disease or because they present with inflammatory cancer to begin with, I am very aggressive with them, and I really tend to do the whole thing where I give them chemo with trastuzumab and pertuzumab, do the trastuzumab and pertuzumab for the whole year, and then expose them to neratinib as well a year after that. If their risk is not as high, I would confine the neratinib recommendation usually to ER-positive disease. But if their risk is high enough, then even if they don't have ER-positive cancers, I would consider the addition of neratinib as well, in the spirit of trying to lower as much as possible the risk of recurrence.
Subsequent to these interviews, the primary results from the Phase 3 IMpassion 130 trial were presented at the ESMO 2018 meeting and published in the New England Journal of Medicine, showing that the addition of atezolizumab to nab-paclitaxel significantly improved progression-free survival when used in first-line treatment of patients with advanced triple-negative breast cancer in both the intention-to-treat population and the PD-L1 positive subgroup. At this first interim survival analysis, a clinically meaningful improvement was also reported among patients with PD-L1 positive tumors, where the overall survival was increased by 10 months with a hazard ratio of 0.62. The result of the Phase 3 Paloma 3 study was also presented at ESMO and published in the New England Journal, demonstrating that the addition of palbociclib to fulvestrant resulted in a statistically significant improvement in overall survival in patients with hormone receptor positive, HER2 negative advanced breast cancer who were sensitive to previous endocrine therapy, with a hazard rate of 0.72. In addition, also presented at ESMO were the results of the Phase 3 SOLAR-1 study evaluating the addition of alpelisib to fulvestrant for patients with hormone receptor positive HER2 negative disease and one prior line of endocrine therapy. Progression-free survival was significantly prolonged with the addition of the PI3 kinase inhibitor alpelisib to fulvestrant, with a hazard rate of 0.65 in patients with PIK3CA mutations. This is the first study to show statistically significant, clinically meaningful PFS improvement with an alpha-specific PI3 kinase inhibitor in this patient population. This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.